Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that all things are possible, especially those things which are to be reversed at the end time, as David one day said concerning the little son that died, "He cannot come to me, but I can go to him." And that was true back there, but now in this hour, it's reversed, Lord, because we know some of us will not go to them, but they're going to come to us. And that's going to be a wonderful day. We just pray, Lord, that we're of the election and ready. And by faith we are, on the grounds that we believe your word, every bit for this hour, Lord, no matter what your prophet said about the churches, the true and the false, we believe it, Lord. By grace we believe it. Somehow we have what it takes by the Holy Spirit to ignite by faith that revelation, and we become a real part of it and stand there with Abraham, who called those things which are not as though they were, believing in a God who raises the dead. And we appreciate that this morning, Lord. We pray you'll help us in our studies. It might do us all good, that we might leave here better than when we came. Absolutely and positively it can be so, because we know there are those starting back in the days of Cain who left in worse shape than when they came. In the days of Paul, they left the service, even the Lord's Supper and foot washing, in worse shape than when they came. But, Lord, we can't believe for 1 minute we're going to leave this building in worse shape. We believe we're going to leave it in better shape, Lord, spiritually, and having prospered in our souls. I write down through the Word of God the released life. Well, we'll even be prospered in other ways also. We believe, we know that's true, Father. It couldn't be any way else. And the prospering one day is going to release not just mighty power of God in us. That's not really true. We know that. It's going to release what life there's in the Word, while the mighty God standing by will bring the dead out of the graves and transform us and take us away. This hope we have, Lord, and we know that we always say, Brother Branham, if we're not bride, and don't get this, there's a bride out there somewhere that is going to get it. And by grace we will not stand in her way, but as friends of the bride and bridegroom, stand back and cheer them on. May that be our heart's desire today, Lord, as we enter into resurrection truth, because it is the truth of the resurrection hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're dealing with books, and we did get into the second book, which we looked at in Numbers 5 last Wednesday. So this is really book number 2B, part B. And we're not trying to follow any particular line of reasoning or presentation in these books, except as we sort of can look at them in the sense of the chronology of the Bible, such as Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, right on down through. And I don't say we're even going to be true to that. We'll likely be going back and forth as certain things come to our attention. Now, the book we were looking in, of course, was the book of Numbers. That's in the Bible now. At book number 2, which is the book of cursing. And it was in chapter 5. And in verse 23, and it says here, "And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water." In other words, he'll write them in, and then he'll blot them out. Just why, I don't say that I know, but it's a book of cursing, and of course, we read the context the other night, and it was verses 12 through 31. And it has to do with the husband who has a spirit of jealousy come upon him, either righteously or wrongly. He surmises his wife is having an affair with another man because of certain things he sees, or because he's a little bit off balance. Now, he's got a problem at this time because if his wife actually is living with another man, he shouldn't be touching her. He's got to expose her, giving her the scriptural test the Bible prescribes, and then she must be put away, of course, which she would be burnt with fire. And if his suspicions are incorrect, that she's living true to him, that she's all right, she's clean that way, then she'll be vindicated. He will continue living with her, and of course then he must actually change his attitude concerning her. Now, if she's found to be wrong in the sight of God through this test, then his attitude would be absolutely wrong for him to stand up with her and say, well, I forgive her. You can't do that. See, Adam pulled that. He knew that Eve was messed up by the beast, and he played her redeemer, actually usurped the authority of Jesus Christ, and there was a great mess. Now, the man could not possibly allow his wife to remain with him and him protect her because it would wreak folly in Israel. And this is something individuals in the church don't seem to really understand, that one rotten apple can make the whole barrel of apples rotten, at least in its conduct one toward another. Its true attitudes can be defiled, and many things from God can go by the board because of this so-called spirit of love, which in my books is hogwash. I'm sorry. But I have no use for mother love except as it deals with the children and in its place. But mother love goes hog wild. Absolutely overprotective. Doing things it shouldn't do. Refusing discipline. Standing in the husband's way from doing it. It's murder. I tell you, any love that doesn't come from the Word of God by the Spirit of life within it is not only suspect, it is dangerous. Dangerous, and it'll get you. Sir, Adam was wrong. So the man would have to do what is right. Now, this ritual evidently went on for hundreds of years. And as you look at this little book with its severe obligations that devolve upon the husband, so he's got to stand there and know that he's right. She's got to stand there and she better be right. This is the type of Israel, the church, the woman, and it also types the woman, the church. Now notice, the woman was a virgin when she married this man. There's no hokum. No problem. She's a virgin. But now, she could be miserably at fault in adultery. Starts out a virgin, in the marriage, goes into adultery. Now, here what you're looking at is identically what happened to Israel, happened in the Garden of Eden, it happened to the church that Jesus Christ redeemed by His blood. It happens all the way through. Now, we read in Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter, the other night, verses 1 to 20, so that you can see this very picture. And this is very, very rough. They say, verse 1, they say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Let her come back. Shall not that land be greatly polluted that does that? Now, watch what it's saying. It's going to cause a pollution. The rotten apple is going to mess up the whole barrel. But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Now watch. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Now you see, Adam couldn't do that legally. He did it anyway. But God can. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lying with. Now that's idolatry. The high places is where the heathen worshiper went. And to the groves. And usually they had on the high place, they had the groves. And you will notice in the history of Israel, that when the kings decided to reform the church and cause Israel to be spiritual through the political influence, it might go as far as the high places, but it never ever cleared up the groves. You go through your Bible and you're going to see. There was always a place that they left in order to entice the people to idolatry. That's exactly why you've got the Bible speaking of whoredom, of fornication, from the physical to the spiritual, because it's the greatest spot of enticement there is. You know what I'm talking about, right in the Garden of Eden. It types it all the way through. Even though a man's married, too many men are looking for another woman. And today as women's lived, the women are looking for other men. Now you got the picture right here. Now, lift up thine eyes, verse 2, to the high places, see where thou hast been not lying with. In the ways thou hast sat for them, as the raven in the wilderness, thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms, with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there has been no latter rain. Thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Now, the point is, in representing the church, there is no way that the latter rain will not fall in God's appointed time. But you notice what it's saying here. What you could have had as living reality in your midst through the latter rain, God withheld it. Now, when it comes to the sovereignty of God in a certain particular time, God must bring it to pass, because as in our day, the former rain must fall at the time of the latter rain. In other words, the teaching must be restored to the church. That's absolutely thus saith the Lord. And so God would have to have a latter rain. But you'll notice something. As the church went a-whoring, the power of God deserted her, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit never came back until the end of the sixth church age. You had a little bit here and a little bit there. But where God would have blessed His church continuously, as Brother Branham said, the sweet Spirit of Christ coming into the church, the gifts, as it were, now laid aside, everybody getting healed, people being healed left and right, you can see now what you're looking at. You are looking at the fact that as the church puts away its idolatry, which is adultery, puts away its fornication, which is its false doctrines and a false worship, more and more, going back to the Word, which is what this is all about, people going off the Word, there's another word for them, and the word is judgment. Let's understand that. The church has a word. When it stays with the Word, there is no judgment. See, when there is a word, then judgment has got to come. That is, the church gets another word. Now, see what we see here then. If the church puts away from amongst herself, and as I've taught all along, the one tie post is this word. If it kills you, stick with it. Live or die, sink or swim, stick with it. Stay with it. Then the Spirit of Christ is released above the gifts, because gifts should follow word. But when you get back to the word and follow word, you can put the gifts on the shelf, as it were. Then watch begin to move in His church. So you can't get away from what I've been preaching. You try as you want. But I'm meeting you here in this pulpit, and I will meet you 1,000 years from now at the white throne, and there won't be one word changed what I'm telling you. There isn't going to be, because it's the word of the Lord vindicated by God through His prophet. Now, he said, you've got a whore's forehead. Well, what's a whore's forehead? Literally, all she can think of is men making merchandise on capitalizing on their lust, which she evidently enjoys also. What is it to the church? Her head is filled with nothing but the wrong word. It was the wrong word that brought fornication to Eve, where Brother Branham said she was a whore. Now, you do what you want. That's what he called her. So, I think the man was a little bit too harsh. Ha! How do you like to be burnt with fire? Would you sooner be called a whore and get back with God or burn with fire? You take your choice. Brother Branham wasn't hard. People just don't know how to take the man. The whore's forehead. Now remember, bind your phylacteries, which was a little box with the word in it, on the forehead, signifying the mind occupied with the word. What is this woman occupied with? She is occupied with her false doctrines, her creeds, and her dogmas, the Nicolaitan, Laodicean concept of the last age. What are we supposed to have on our foreheads? The constant word of God. The constant talking the word of God in the home and applying it. What did Brother Branham say about this? What did he say about that? The doctrine. What did Brother Branham say about this vindicated by God? What did he say about the other thing? The constant application of the word to the mind is what was not applied. And we are to apply it in this last hour. He said, you refuse to be ashamed. Naked, miserable, and doesn't even know it. And John tells him that we might not be ashamed in his presence. Coming a time right there. Coming a time right there, it's already passed. Not ashamed. And I'm going to tell you, those that weren't ashamed were the whores. That's right. I'll bring a letter sometime and read what the great Mr. Duplessy, Mr. Pentecost, wrote about Brother Branham. Those words are forever etched. Brother Branham, quoting the prophet, he said, oh, that he had an iron pen and could write on a slate rock. Mr. Duplessy's words will burn like fire because he doesn't have one bit of vindication, not one thing out of the Bible. Except the folly of Pentecost, which is a false doctrine. Wilt thou not cry from this time unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth? In other words, turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things that thou, the things that you could. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that backsliding, what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain, every green tree, and played the harlot. That's idolatry. Harlotry is idolatry. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass that Lazar heard him that she defiled the land, committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And that's what the Bible said, they made graven images. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly saith the Lord. Like Brother Branham said, they're screaming for revival and then fighting it. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, and I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge that iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and scattered thy ways to strangers on every green tree, and yet ye have not obeyed my voice. Now, you know, I said the other night, which is true, and Protestantism is to be blamed also. But you can't find one place where the Roman Catholic Church has not gone, but it adapted itself to the religion of the people. It just merely superimposed by murder and God knows what upon the people a little so-called Christianity, and they mixed it all in. You have the identical picture of the Old Testament. You got it right today. Nothing ever changes, only the new people doing it. Same old news. Just different people. Shalom. Can I speak shalom this morning? Are we different people not doing the same old thing? Listen, we got to answer to God. Either this was vindicated or wasn't. Okay, tell me what it's all about. Then get somebody to produce it. I want to see somebody produce it. Bunch of blathering spiritual idiots. Blaspheming day and night. Anybody can talk. Any jackass can bray. But they're just like Aesop's fable. The jackass, the would-be lion. So he put on a lion's skin. He said, I'll take over the animals and scare the people. And they were until he opened his mouth to speak and proclaim he was king of the jungle. And his voice betrayed him. Anybody can talk. Only God can produce. Yes. The casting of the lots, brother, sister, is in your hands and mind. But the disposition is in the hands of God. See this quarter? I can toss it. You know something? God made it show tails. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe it. Any more than I do. I don't believe it very much either, but I know it's true. Right. Okay. The day's coming, God said, I'll give you pastors according to my heart. Not according to fornicating religions and churches. Do you believe at the end time God can raise up men who repudiate 100% the creeds and dogmas, the fornications and the idolatry and the adultery, the whole bit, and stand and give you the word of God? If you can't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. And I got no faith in you. I can lose faith in any friend or anybody today who tells me this Bible lied. Let me tell you something. Jeremiah is to the nations. Israel never, ever got her true pastors, period. God came and wiped the system out. And the 144,000 will be born again through the blood and the Holy Ghost. Through a revealed word that's been vindicated. Two messengers, Moses and Elijah. And I have no doubt Brother Branham will hand it back to them. How he does is his business. If he doesn't do it, I say, I have no doubt in this sense. I believe that could well happen. I don't know for 100%. But I know one thing, and Brother Branham left the scene. The gospel's got to go back to Israel, and it's going to go back on the basis he left it. Now I'll give you pastors according to mine heart. What's the heart of God? The Gentiles also come in. Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. This age, after roughly thousands of years, 2,000 of the Gentiles, and many of years under Israel, the true church of God has an opportunity to have a true fivefold ministry. Though as one man said, Brother Branham told him, which I have no reason to believe or disbelieve. I knew the man he's supposed to told it to, but I don't know what he told. He said there aren't that many true fivefold ministers at that time. There could be this time, this time, this time. I don't know. It'll come to pass when ye be multiplied and increase the land, and these days of the Lord, they shall no say no more. The ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit, neither shall it be done any more. And that you go on and on, you'll find out that's that you're looking right down at the time of the end, which we see in this hour. Now, the Old Testament speaks in these terms very often, what we read here in the book of Jeremiah. But also, you will find that the church became
a harlot, and adultery-oriented in the first church age, as given to us in the book of Revelation, the second chapter. Speaking to the Ephesian church, in the seven verses, you notice 4, 5, and 6, nevertheless, I've got something against you because you left your first love. Remember therefore from whence you're fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Now, before you and I can understand this, let us remember that God is now speaking to bride and non-bride, plus foolish virgin, which is non-bride. But remember, you've got the two vines, true and false. You've got the sheep of the true election, the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got the Book of Life, in which names will remain and will not be taken off. And you've got those whose names will be taken off, because they are led by those who misinform them, the false prophet. Yeah. The wolf, the wrong tree, and they're part of him. The parallelism of Scripture holds good from Genesis to Revelation. So you got the two of them right here. The Spirit of God never repudiates the bride. Never. Mm-mm. Nope. Fathers and mothers can forsake their children, but God cannot. We are engraved upon His palms. See? As His word is to be continually before us, we are continually before God. Because Jesus Christ is our great intercessor, and on top of that, the Holy Spirit within us intercedes for ourselves and for each other. All right. He says now to the church, which has corrupted herself, according to 2 Corinthians, she is already a fallen woman. Paul is suspicious. The corruption, we'll read, is not sexual, it is mental. The whore is in the forehead, not the genitals. You understand what I'm saying? It's a spiritual thing, positively and mental. It is not a physical, though she becomes physical with her monks and her nuns. The same as all idolatry goes into, which is sexual impulses, which are never ever denied. Rather, they are neither mitigated, but they are absolutely pampered until it's nothing but a sexual mess. Nevertheless, I've got something against you, because you have left your first love. Now, that's the present condition. Now, he says, remember from whence you are fallen. That's a past condition. In your present condition, repent. Do the first works, go back. See? Or I'll remove your candlestick, except you repent. Well, the point is, the church doesn't repent. So the candlestick is removed. But this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds and the galatians, which all hate. So I want you to notice two things here. Verse 4 and 6 are present tense. Number one, they're in a place of the first love is gone. And they need to change their minds. So love has something to do with the mind. It is not a physical passion now where you're moved because of your hormones raging. No way. But notice, this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So something is there. Nicolaitans. Something to do with the mind. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, and I think we can see it. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. Hogwash, they didn't see him crucified. It's a revelation. It is a mental instruction. The mind being instructed by the living word of the living God. And a revelation seems to be apparent. And he said, you've understood what took place in your age, which was the death of Messiah, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now he said, this only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Now listen, the hearing of the faith was the basis of the Spirit. What hearing of what? The Word. Now, are you so foolish, having begun the Spirit? You're now made perfect by the flesh. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he that therefore ministereth the Spirit to you, and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the word of God? You understand what I'm saying? Get the picture here. Paul the apostle said, I never came to you in weakness, except weakness in myself. I came to you in the power of the living God, and the word that I preached was in the living power of God, and I manifested exactly what God said would manifest. Now, what has happened? The Nicolaitans have come with dead creeds and dogmas and the sophism of the world, the wise so-called, the foolishness, and they've taken the people away from the living word of Almighty God. That's why exactly the latter rain couldn't keep falling. That's why the power of God wasn't manifested. Because the living word was gone. Brother Branham with the living word stood before the people and showed what the living word can do. The days of the Son of Man on earth. Now you can see what happened in that first age. They have absolutely fallen from the living word. Men are now not employing Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, where you're ruled by the word of God. Where there is a vindicated word that you stand with, and Paul, having taught his people well, they were able to spread it and teach it, keeping alive the ministry of the word in the church, but they turned from it. Now, there is no way that the Spirit can be ministered ever again until it comes back to a man of the caliber of Paul, who did not handle the word of God deceitfully, but brought it 100% vindicated and said, now, this is ministering to you the resurrection. It's absolutely the word of God right here in the book, brother, sister. This is why they couldn't have a resurrection and a rapture in the first church age, because it was down the road for all the rest of sheep to come in. And on top of that, the church was going to go to adultery. And Brother Branham said, that's exactly what happened. But there'll be a church at the end time. She won't have a chance to commit adultery. You know why? Because she doesn't know where to turn. Top that man's act, which is the act of God. Top it. You say, Brother Bill, what if they do? I'll spit on it. There's always an original. He had his mount. Showdown. Mounts, not Mount Sinai, but the where Elijah took them up that time. Brother Branham withstood the Pentecost. You're not going to withstand the Baptist. What's a Baptist got to do with it? Presbyterian, and they've been dead for so long it's pitiful. They don't just stink. There's nothing left to stink. They're gone. Like the chaff in the wind. Or the gases and ashes their body produced. Pentecost is what stinks. They're dead and they don't know it. The Bible said that they'd have a name like that. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. dead physical, dead spiritual. What a horrible mess. They turned down the living word. The church is to be ruled by the word. No preacher gets up and rules. You do what you want. You think I'm going to ride hurting you? If I have to bring you to time sometime, that's a different story. It's up to you. All right, we see the church start to play the harlot. She's winking, as the Bible said, with her eyes and tinkling with her toes. She's lining up her customers for adultery. Now, that was age one. In age two, you'll see the mixed multitude. In age three, you'll see organization begins to creep in. In age four, you'll see them right into it, hidebound. They're stuck in the dark ages. In age five, you'll see justification under Luther begin to come forth, but they're so weak they can't do anything but just hope something will happen somewhere down the line. And it does. Because in age number six, a little strength comes into the church. And we see the church proliferate. We see it coming back to the place where God wants her without adultery. She's begun to clean up her act. But she can't get away from organization. It starts in the first church age. It's got to be completed in the seventh church age. And at the same time, a bride has got to come back as virgin. Well, there's something wrong with the Bible. Age number seven. You can see where she is. She is absolutely a total whore to God. She doesn't even know it. She claims like Israel, I'm the bride of Christ. I'm the true church. I'm the living one. She's no more that than nothing. She's completely deluded. What does the Bible say concerning her? Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, knowest not you're wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and blind. There is not one good thing that God says about the church. Yet, at the same time, there's a bride in that church. What's he say to the bride? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I've got a message for you. I love you. I've got a rebuke and chasing you. And if you've got any zeal toward me and you say you have, then you better get ready to change your mind, because I'm going to take all your doctrine away from you and give you the right one. I'm going to bring you back to where you're no longer a whore. Only God can do that, because only God can grant repentance. Only God can grant that you and I change our minds. That's why people in this so-called message right today cannot change their minds. There's no way they can listen and understand what I'm saying. They'll preach all around it. Just ask them one question. Tell me who came down. Tell me what came down. Tell me why he came down. Tell me what he's doing, if he's doing anything. He can't do it. They're not interested to tell you. They sooner blaspheme the word. God hasn't granted repentance. That's the whole thing. That's why you should never try to stuff your mind with things you don't know the answer to. Just wait till God grants it to you. You try to stuff your mind, you're going to get into deep water right up to here. Years ago, you didn't understand me. Can you understand me now? You better thank God you can. And don't try to stuff your minds. Just listen. You say, why? Because I wasn't called to sit in the pew. I was called up here. You're called to sit in the pew. See, Brother Branham said that. I can say it too if I'm part of the same ministry. If I'm not, then I'm just kidding you. Get yourself somebody else. You're stupid not to. They're plain ignorant, that's all. We can't deal with that kind of nonsense. Now, this fallen woman, she has completely fallen away from any light and light. She's totally a prostitute of her unto God. Any child, therefore, that she brings forth must be a child of whoredoms, which is a complete bastard. That's right. You know that's got to be the truth. Absolutely. She's completely backed out from the word. Then what life has she got in her? It's all darkness, but she will bring forth a child. It'll be Antichrist. She has got to bring forth in flesh. As Brother Branham said, the church at this time is too weak. She couldn't bring forth the child if she tried. She couldn't bring forth the Christ. The organized churches are attempting to bring him forth. They can't do it. Anything they bring forth will have to be a bastard child. Now let's understand this, brother, sister. What is a bastard child? It's where the right man gets the wrong woman. You say, well, I think it's two people that had a child out of wedlock. You're entirely wrong. The only true bastard child in this civilization can be where two married couples get together. The man with the other man's wife, vice versa, and have a child. The original meaning of an illegitimate child is the right man with the wrong woman. I'll ask you a question. These churches all around the world, from the Roman Catholic and every Protestant, speak in tongues. Is that the Holy Ghost or the devil? You better say it's the Holy Ghost, because you could be blaspheming God. What spirit is it? It's the Spirit of God. That spirit is into a non-word people. She will get pregnant. As Mary got pregnant. But not being the seed of God to begin with, she'll bring forth the bastard child, which is the Antichrist. She's got to do it. Don't think she's not going to do it, because she is going to do it. Everything in the Scripture tells you that. Now, if you want to see this church, and I suppose you do, you go to Revelation, the 17th chapter, 1-9, and there came one of the seven messengers which had the seven vials and talked to me, saying, come hither, I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Half of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me in the spirit of the woman, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet covered beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead, her mind was totally Mystery Babylon, no more word of God than a dead hog inside of a dead horse. Inside of hell itself. The mother of abominations. Mother harlots, abomination of the earth. That tells you exactly what she is. Comes out of the mind. Paul said, I fear lest your minds have been seduced, that you will turn to another spirit, another gospel, another Jesus. The Roman Catholic Church and the Protestants have turned to another spirit. Right, they don't know it, but they have another Jesus, another word. And that's all they know. And it says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. She hates the same as Cain. The blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. What do you mean admiration? I was overwhelmed. Hey, the beast thou sawest. He marveled at her, and the beast that carried. The beast you saw and is not, was and is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. No foundation. And go into perdition. And they that drown the earth shall wonder, and they which are not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations. And tongues. And the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God should be fulfilled. In other words, there's going to come a time when they'll rise up against the whole mess, even as people are rising up against communism. They'll rise plumb up against the power of the church. Brother Branham said that it's going to come from Moscow. One of the bombs is going to hit Rome. It's going to hit America. That'll cure it all. And the one which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Even the Roman Catholics know it as Rome. The 18th chapter, 1-5. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth light with glory. And he cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean, hateful beast. In other words, the Babylonian church, the one that came back there in the time of Babylon, under Nebuchadnezzar, you are looking at now in the form of a church, which is now from within, all nations governing all nations. Verse 3, and all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication. See, what is the wrath of the fornication? It's burning. Burning. What happens right now with sexual diseases? They burn. And the primary organs of generation in the urinary system burn. A sensation which will be multiplied when fire hits them. Burning. Notice. The kings of the earth have committed fornication there, and the merchants of the earth will wax rich through the abundance of delicacies. You play along with her, you'll get rich. I heard another voice from him saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of sins, that you may receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. How much she glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow. I am the living wife of the living God. Hey, Roman, you Protestants. When have you had any proof that God's really among you? Never mind your conversions. The Hindus can do just as good and better. Let me give some proof. Let me see something. Can't do it. They don't have thus saith the Lord. It's all gone. But she says, I'm the queen. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Listen, in spite of Luke 17, 20 to 30, the days of the Son of Man, the separation of the Word by the Word of the people, the separation unto Almighty God, in spite of all that, they do not repent. Therefore the plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. And remember, that takes place at the time of Hebrews 12, 18 to about verse... Let me get it right. So you got it right. Hebrews 12, 18 to 29. The time when God speaks from heaven. The same time this mighty angel cries. Could Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 be Revelation chapter 5, verse 1? Be Revelation 10 and verse 1? Now, this great adulterous reprobate church system started out by turning lightly aside from her head, Christ the Word, who is both Rhema and Logos, and as Brother Branham kept on quoting, not revising Scripture, but interpreting it, revealing it, when he said, one day God is going to judge this world by one Christ Jesus, and He is the Word. He's the Word. See? And as the harlot in Numbers 5, is she is tried by the Word, so Christ tries the church at the end time. Now watch this woman's spirit grow in the church. It is the spirit of the harlot who increases her wickedness until there is absolutely no shame to her. She's naked. That spirit is seen in Revelation chapter 6. Verses 1 through 8. And when I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This takes place after John's treatment of the first church age, which the Spirit is amongst them. But as Brother Branham said, you can't crown a spirit. So under the seals, the church gains her power under Constantine when heathenism comes into the church and the church begins to set aside super strong men of which one becomes a pope, a leader. They depose the leaders that God sent. Number two. The second seal opened and said, come and see. It was red. Power was given to it to take peace from the earth, and blood shed in. And men began to kill each other. And a great sword was given to the church to begin to destroy. Taken over by man. Now with absolute authority can kill anybody he wants. The Roman church has controlled nations and made kings and armies do their bidding. That's right. In verse 5, he opened the third seal, a black horse. He was given a pair of balancing hand. A measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measure of barley for a penny. But see, you don't hurt the oil and wine. Now there's your two vines brought out as never before. Don't hurt the oil and wine. You leave revelation and stimulation by revelation completely alone. You can't touch it. The peace of God, the anointing of God is true through all church ages. Then watch the last one, the fourth seal. If you opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice. The fourth beast said, come and see. And I looked, and I saw a pale horse. That's entirely erroneous. It's a brindle horse. And Brother Branham, not knowing anything about the Greek and anything about this, he said, see, all three are poured into one. And everything poured into one horse, black and white and red, is brindle. It's a very peculiar color. Now remember, that's what happened under organization. The fourth seal is Omega. Omega is Alpha. What is Alpha? The spirit of Antichrist enthroned in a man. And the last day centers, Satan enters the man. As we crown our God King of Kings, they will crown their God as though he's King of Kings. They'll be crowning the devil. Thus, this world church is looking for a man to head it up. It will head it up according to Revelation chapter 13, which is America. Verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns upon his horns, 10 crowns upon his head, the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard in his feet, like unto the beast of a bear, feet of a bear, and his mouth as a mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. What was that? This great authority? The power of ruling the world by sin, because Adam sold out. And I saw one of his heads who were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world went after the beast. That's Romanism died as a nation and came back as a religion. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power to the beast. They worshipped the beast, saying, who's like the beast, and who's able to make war with him. That was proven at the time when the Pope visited Poland. There's no more they could have war than nothing. It was already arranged ahead of time. See? They listen to his mouth and believe it. That's the trouble. Verse 6, he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. That's what they did. And in hers found all the blood of the martyrs. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, slain in the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. In other words, if you've got understanding, you'll get it. If you don't have understanding, it's going to go right over your head. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. All through the ages, the saints must wait for their time as the other church waits for its time. And they both claim to have the same goal and the same God. Now, beyond that beast come up of the earth, he had 2 horns like a lamb, he spake as a dragon. That's America, coming up out of the earth. There was no great civilization here, very few people. So he's given an ecclesiastical and a civil horn to speak there. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. And it caused the earth and them to dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. In other words, America will revive the Roman system. And it still needs reviving. But America will be responsible for it and bring forth the Antichrist. When you see the Pope come out of America, you better sit up and take notice. And he doeth great wonders. He maketh fire come down from heaven and earth in the sight of men, deceiveth them that dwell on earth by the means which those miracles he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast that which had the wound by a sword and did live. In other words, the Trinitarian Roman Catholic dogma must become absolutely fully effective and enforced. In other words, idolatry must reign supreme, even though it's in the name of God. That's the way Cain did it, right in the name of God. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor and free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand and in their forehead. Do the will, to think the thoughts, receive the doctrine. Notice, every time it's a forehead, it's of a whore. The mental. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understanding count the number of the beast. For it's a number of man. His number is 666. Which we know that is absolutely true. Now the devil has a bride. Here is the church worshiping the devil and doesn't know it. Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, having for doctrine the traditions of men. He said, beware the darkness Sadducees then, and the Pharisees and the Herodians. This woman has claimed to be the bride of Jesus Christ. So God gives her the test of jealousy. John 14:6-12. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the foundations. That's Revelation chapter 10. God exposing himself, coming down, and swearing by himself. Okay. And now there fall another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, the great city, because she hath made all nations drunk, drink with the wine of the wrath of fornication. And the third angel followed them with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, receive his mark in the forehead or in his hand, the saint shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure, and the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, the presence of the holy angels, the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night who worship the beast in his image, who shall receive the mark of his name. Here is the face of saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. The difference between these people is the Word of God. They have a legitimate faith based upon a legitimate understanding. All right. God sends his prophet in Hebrews 6 for this test. Because this is the test to the whore. Are you going to believe what has been declared unto you? That is your test. If you flunk it, you will burn with fire. Now remember, it speaks for the hour of his judgment has come. The discerning God that discerns you, William Branham, where nobody could hide if there's 5 or 500, 5,000 or 5 million. The same one came. And the power of discernment. Presenting to the church its last call to repentance. For it says in Hebrews the 6th chapter, after Luke 17:20-30, the actual manifestation of the power of God vindicating the word, there is no more opportunity to repent. The seventh church age message of repentance, Revelation 3:19, is here in Revelation 14 and in Hebrews 6, giving us the opportunity. See, God sends his prophet in Hebrews 6 for the test. The presence of God is before her, as seen in Luke 17:20-30, because this is literally Melchizedek. God himself, his own high priest, as he was to Abraham, before the destruction of Sodom and the coming of the Son, S-O-N, in flesh, the promised one, stands right there. And they have the opportunity to repent, and they don't do it. There it is, and there it is, and Brother Branham said, scientifically. I know they don't want to believe that. Who gives a rip what they believe? I'm not going to waste any time crying over it. I may feel sorry for certain people. But I don't have enough outreach of any description to feel sorry for everybody. And I don't intend to be. Say, well, Brother Vail, the point is God loves a sinner and hates his sin. I've got news for you. He's angry with the wicked all day long. Doesn't sound too much like love, does it? Or somebody's missing the point. All right, listen. The woman must now take the dust of the temple. What is the dust of the floor of the temple? Well, the floor of the temple would have to be part of the foundation. Remember, God said, I'll make you a pillar in the church. That's in the church ages. That's not for the wicked. That's for the righteous. When God speaks peace and good, in the seven church ages and seven death messages, it's only to the bride that's a true bride. He said, I'll make you a pillar. And the pillar reaches from the foundation, because it is a part of the foundation, right to the top. Now remember, it was Samson who got a hold of the two pillars in the temple unto Baal. Yes, sir. And as the servant of God, which Samson was a type of a prophet, a great judge, he took those two pillars and pulled on them, and the whole thing came down. Well, I want to tell you, God has built a temple from the foundation that isn't going to be pulled down. The heart of temple will be, but not the temple of God. Now, what to me is this dust of the floor? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You put a floor, and your feet coming in will wear on that. And today, you know, they tell me women's high heels can actually dent steel plates. In fact, I've seen it. And what did I try to tell you? You're walking on something begins to wear it off. Now, walking on the Word of God is exactly what the church has done. God gave them that Word as their foundation to build on. Right. The cornerstone's the same as the capstone. It's only a different place, a different time. What have people done? They've walked on or belittled the Word of Almighty God. So, that dust there to me on the floor represents the original Word of God that has been belittled, worn down, cast aside, forgotten. Let that Word of God be given back to us. And remember, most of it did not need to be given back. It was merely correcting the errors, filling in the little cracks that you couldn't see with the seals on the back of the book. Now we've got a people who can see it. And the Word then to me is where God anoints His Word, His own self doing it by the Holy Ghost and bringing it to life and gives this woman the drink. And the prophet said, I held your noses, church. And I tried to pour it down your throat and you spit it out. Therefore, God can only do one thing. That woman who failed the test must positively be burned. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, Brother Branham correctly said, now by our gathering together, and read it here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. That is not the second coming. That is before the second coming. It's a gathering together unto Him. How? By the word of judgment that comes forth from 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 to 12, and then is shown us in 2 Thessalonians 8 to about 13, which is the word of truth that the people turned down. Now listen, you can't have two words of truth. There's only one word of truth. And the word of truth is the original word that the apostle Paul, the prophet Paul brought. And they turn it down. Now therefore this woman is judged. And she is now there rotting because of her hurtings. Her condition is a sexual disease because she's rotting. It's absolutely the word of God is scientific. AIDS make you rot. The swollen belly is the cancer that follows AIDS. Because it's related. You can't deny it. There is only one way to stop her plague. And believe me, God's way is best. Fire alone can do it. The Russians are way ahead of us. They have found herbs that are resistant to almost every single thing but fire. And there is a disease. Resist everything but fire, and you're going to find it this plague they're into now. And, of course, everybody's playing it down. Everybody. Didn't they play that down too? And say that was a phony and a fraud. Make him some wicked kind of a person. Some kind of a nut. Some puffed ego idiot. They trampled the word of God underfoot. And the Bible said, if you despise Moses' law, you despise the blood, you despise the covenant. And these people have done it. They've turned away from God. There's only one thing going to stop her, and that's the plague. from the sword of the word of the prophet, she's delivered to the fire. Remember the very words of John the Baptist. Over there in the book of Matthew, I believe it is, when he talked about the one standing amongst them, he said, whose fan is in his hand, and he'll thoroughly purge his floor, gather the wheat in the garner, but the chaff he'll burn with fire unquenchable. Now, he names the chaff above the tares. Because why? God's purging his church at the end time, before he purges the earth. And the chaff has been separated, the Pentecostal chaff for the wind, to blow across the desert. There's no life in chaff. The life was once there, but it's gone out. It's passed into the seed. So therefore, there will be a resurrection at the time of the Pentecost, the last church age, but they're going to miss it. Notice again, in Numbers 5, 29 to 31. And I'm not able to cover the whole book as though I know all the answers, brother, sister. I wish I knew more of the answers. But all I can do is relate to you what I see. If I see more later on, I'll tell you. But this is the best I can understand what I'm talking about. This is that bowl that water. God pours out all the plagues. Remember, they take a bowl up and pour it out. These are the plagues. I could read that too, but I'm not going to have time this morning. We're going to look at 5 and 29 to 31. This is the law of jealousies. When a wife goeth aside to another instead of her husband, she's defiled. Or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, he's jealous over his wife. And they shall set the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute upon her all this law. Then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity. Now, it tells you right there what's going to happen to her. She's going to bear her iniquity. No way to get around it. She won't bear any children now because she's caught in her whoredoms. There's no way she can be with the man she married. She says she's married to, but she denies it by going to somebody else. See? Now look at here. It says here, it doesn't mean that the woman did it. And if she didn't do it, nothing's going to happen to her. No judgment. The word of God in judgment, vindication, will entirely exonerate the bride. You didn't even do it. Now watch. Let's go to verse 28. And they said, if the woman be not defiled, but clean, then she shall be free, and she shall conceive seed. The woman that takes the fiery sword of God's unique judgment, which is the revealed word, the revelation given her, she'll be clean, and she will bring forth that child, which is Christ, in flesh. She will bring about the resurrection. She will bring about the rapture. She will bring about the crowning, because she'll do it. And she will come back to earth. Now remember, God's her head and doing it all for her and through her. But it's going to take someone that God can utilize and manifest through, and he does it. Thus we stand today. The jealous God of the original Exodus, out of Egypt with Moses, made some very strong statements in Exodus 20. Notice what he says here. First few verses. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt know the gods before me. Now he's talking about the people that came out. And there's a lot of people come out of Egypt, and they don't know what they're doing out of Egypt. A lot of folk came out of Babylon. They hate this message. As Brother Branham said, they can be harder and meaner than those in organization. Now, no other gods before me, still Trinitarians. You'll not make unto any graven image, any likeness of thing in heaven above, the earth beneath, the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down for thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, on the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Those that hate God are found in idolatry. Jesus said, they had not known sin, except I showed them these great, wonderful, marvelous works that no other man did. But now, since they've seen it, they both hate me and my Father. Let's go back and take a look at that. That's the 15th chapter of St. John. Verse 24. If I had not done among the works which another man did, they had not sinned, but now they both sinned and hated both me and my Father. You tell these people they hate God, they'll spit in your face and be so mad they could kill you. I never even called a certain guy that was an editor of a paper down in Florida. Never said he wasn't a Christian. He misunderstood me. And he was so mad, he just cussed me upside down with it. He just GD this and SOB'd everything right there in my presence. He was a great Christian. You know, I would have been normally insulted or something. I sat there, and I was grinning inside. I could hardly keep from bursting out laughing. His face said, oh, yes, sir. Yes. You know, doing my best to bite my tongue, keep my lips in. While he raved up and down what a great Christian he was. And I was the worst rotten man in the world to ever believe that God could heal the sick because God didn't come down and heal them all. That's your churches, brother, sister. If you don't, listen, do you hear what I said right here? The Church of Christ that denies the healing of God and makes it ever hate God. And you can go to some of them and find some of the sweetest spirit under God's high heaven. Let me tell you people, your faces this morning, look you in the eye. I know what I'm talking about. You don't, but I do. You come out of that sweet spirit of hell and walk right out of the spirit of God. Well, he's not nice enough. Well, you're nice. How nice are you? Moses, the meekest man, in the world, became utterly despotic and vindictive the minute somebody rose up and said, listen, Moses, I got word also. And Moses typed Jesus Christ. Do you believe he's there? Do you believe he's there? That's up to you. I can't convince you. It's up to you. Out of the third and fourth generation showing mercy to them that love me. And notice, even they that keep my commandments. You'll not bear the name of the Lord your God in vain. You're not going to be held guilty as you talk about, say, yes, I love him, I do this, I'm that, and I'm related. God will hold you right to it and say, is that so? All right, let's take the test of the whore. You think he won't? He's done it. That's why amongst us who believe there's a fatalism. I don't know what it's all about. Don't ask me. I don't know. When Brother Brannon comes back, I don't know if I'll still know. If he bothers to look me up. Don't get thinking you're going to be some great thing because he'll come back. Paul's coming back too. Sure, they're all coming back. All the true bride of Christ is going to come back. Don't think they won't. What about now? Listen, the same God of Mount Horeb that gave grace through the prophet Moses, that said everybody over 20 can go in, under 20 rather, was back in those days, go in, tells us to remember Horeb when Elijah comes, that there's still grace, that the jealous God will not bring the fire of Malachi 4 if we're found in Malachi 3. We who fear his name understand and know his word and talk it. If you can't talk the word, brother, sister, in my book, you ain't got it. I don't mean to be a preacher. And I don't mean to be some great witness. And I don't mean to run around even. I'm just saying, hey, look. Do you know what this message is about or don't you? Brother Brandon said, my ministry has declared that he is here. The ministry is the declaration of Christ. The Word is here, having vindicated himself in his Word, and is thus set the Lord. If you know everything about it, it doesn't matter. You weren't meant to any more than I was. The God of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth pronounces double upon the whore. Christianity is not an evolution. Jesus Christ is not a third part of a Trinity. He's not some nice guy that updated religion who said once upon a time it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But now I say unto you, forgive and forget. Do good deeds. God hasn't changed. If he changed, why is he going to give the whore devil? She doesn't even know she's a whore. Any more than the foolish virgin knew they were serving God by doing something nice for somebody. They all turned down vindication. That's the trouble, of course. But they still don't know what it's all about. God's a jealous God, brother, sister. The God that told us that we are approaching to Mount Zion, and at that time the voice of him that comes from heaven is on earth, at the same time says, our God is a consuming fire. He's not going to consume you and me. He's going to consume those in Malachi. God vindicates his bride at this time, and then the same vindication manifests the whore. The word that brings life brings death, because it's a two-edged sword. The same God that destroyed the Sodomites will in no wise destroy the righteous. But in Revelation 19, he comes back to destroy all the wicked and renovate the earth. The whore. Why will she be destroyed? You know why? Because she opened her mouth. If she hadn't opened her mouth, she might have got by. He said, well, Brother Bale, I understand Brother Branham said, and it's true, that the words spoken inside speak louder in heaven. That's exactly true. But you see, if she hadn't opened her mouth, she wouldn't have any witnesses against her except God. And she'll have all those witnesses against her standing on that day. She'd have just had God to deal with. But you see, she deliberately destroyed, with the word of the enemy, tried to destroy the people of God. Because of her, the earth is going to be judged. As Brother Branham said, I indict this generation. Only the bride believes that was God speaking through a prophet. And the indicting is already finished. But now the bride is waiting only for the dead to come forth and to go with them to the wedding supper. And the great whore, her judgment has been pronounced too. And the Bible said, great is the God who brings forth the execution. Great is the God that brought us the word, that brought us back to virginity. The Roman Catholic Church uses holy water and pretends to make you a virgin. That's a laugh. This is something that will. Sprinkled with the word, the waters of separation. The blood having already completely justified her. Now she stands robed in the righteousness of Christ. You know, brother, sister, if you look at the great church of this world, their fine buildings and everything they got, they really are rolling right down that highway as though they really got something. And she's that well-dressed up woman that's, well, put it straight, she's sexy. But the bride, Brother Branham said, look, a flat tire alongside of her. Her hair doesn't look like nothing alongside of that thing out there. This coif to the essence. Her designer, Brother Branham said, her fashion's Hollywood, the devil. Let me tell you something. Women represent the church. How could any woman know the truth ever be dissatisfied and want something different from what the prophet brought us? Peter said it way back then, let her a dormant be of a spirit that signifies a spirit. The apostle Paul said the same thing. Brother Branham brought us the same message. But I want to tell you something. God's word about the whore is that she's dirty within and without. But the bride is all glorious within and without. I would sooner be bride with no shoes on my feet packed and caked in the mud of this earth, walking instead of riding, getting instead and buggy instead of flying. Now, Amish aren't going to make it because they do that. Mennonites, they haven't got a prayer. They come up as foolish virgin. That's the best you'll expect of them because they turned down the word. I can't help what the Bible teaches. I'm just going to teach the Bible, especially the vindicated parts I know to be true. And in a sense, too, in my day. It was true in somebody else's day down the road, but I'm talking about my time now. I'm not responsible back there in the future. I'm responsible now. No, you might look pretty awful according to the world, but how do you look according to God? That's what counts. The book of curses, brother, sister, whether you know it or not, has been entered. And someone was proven guilty, and someone was vindicated. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious God and eternal Father, we thank you again for the time we spent this morning in church. And we know, Lord, there is no way, if we've received the word, but we're going to leave here better people for it. Better in understanding. That's a big thing right there. Better in conduct. Because we know, Lord, we're strengthened with might in the inner man. In every way, Lord, the betterment is by faith and grace, the outworking of the life of the Word within the vessel. Father, we recognize that. Now, Lord, where we have something to say about it, which we know we do in our souls, we have the right to believe or not believe. And this, in its way, is an absolute position of passive faith. There isn't one finger we have to raise. There isn't one step we have to take. Not one blink of the eye. There is just one thought to come from our minds and hearts. That this is the truth that the prophet brought us. And what lies within this word he taught us is our rich legacy from you, Lord. And with it, we will grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we will be more at rest in peace and harmony, Lord, than we've ever been before. And so fortified with might in the inner man, though all those three seals were poured into one last seal and a brindle, let it all repeat. And it could, I don't know, Lord. From what the prophet said, I don't know that it will. It seems our great task is the battle of the mind. But these other things could happen too, we know that. Or at least they're there, that we might know them. Experiencing. But Father, whatever is there, I know that there's a bride that has what is needed, it takes at the end time. That no matter what happens to her, she'll stand there and go through with you, Lord, because it is predestinated unto her. So we thank you, Lord, that you are doing it all, the power of predestination, the living God, in hearts, minds, and souls of men and women. Even as we pray, our own thinking, Lord, it seems too much. But Father, this morning, we know we've only got one decision to make there, and that's to give way to your thinking. And actually, we're glad to do it, to give way to your thinking. Bless our people today, Lord, whatever their needs are. Some are away where they are. We don't know, but you know what they're doing, Lord, of necessity. This, that, we pray that you'll be with them, to give them an understanding, the same as we get here, Lord. And a help that we know we're getting here this morning, because not one of your word is void of power. And that word in our hearts and minds will increase us in strength unto the perfect day. Give comfort, we pray, to those that need comfort. We know families are involved here. But we know, Lord, as a family of God together, it supersedes any family by itself. And makes a bond, Lord, of faith and strength that overflows on those that need the grace at this particular time. So, Father, we thank you that we've received measures never before. And this is the hour of the great triumphant, your own epiphania, Lord, as it were, and ours also, coming to that place. Oh, God, we thank you. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.